Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross. I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. We're discussing accessible gardening principles, and with me today are Master Gardeners Julie Roth-Carter and Martha Mills, our first multi-guest broadcast. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you, Ross. Great to be here.
Hey, Ross. Thanks for having us today.
Of course. So to start us off, would you talk a little bit about what accessibility is and how it relates to gardening?
Well, the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association promotes best practices in sustainable gardening, which does include creating an environment that can be accessed, experienced, and used by everybody, regardless of their age, ability, or disability. And this includes considerations that support lifelong enjoyment.
A great goal for a garden. So how can gardens be designed to address accessibility from the get-go?
For our presentation on November 7th, we'll draw upon the concept of universal design, which comes from the federal law that protects the rights of people with disabilities. But there are principles that can be applied to your own home garden. That's the good news. Julie's going to provide examples. However, the overall principles of universal design lay out a framework for assessing and planning to maximize everyone's garden enjoyment. Those design principles include, first and foremost, equitable use, which is at the core of universal design. Consider, is your space useful to people of diverse abilities? Mm-hmm. And do you want it to be accessible to people with all kinds of abilities and preferences?
I would hope so.
Yes. Yep. Flexibility of use is a second design principle. Does the design accommodate a wide range of individual preferences and abilities? Third is tolerance of error. How does the design can eliminate hazards and obstructions? Julie is going to go into that in quite more detail. A fourth principle is design in an ease of access and features that promote a low physical effort so that people can comfortably access and engage in the space. So those are some of the design principles, and maybe you'll hear some questions that you might ask yourself about your own home garden or community garden or other places that you like to visit.
That all makes a lot of sense. I definitely would want to be thinking about those things if I were to design a new space. Who is benefiting from those accessible gardening principles?
Designing for a person with disabilities, we feel, really provides universal benefits for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I would add just one more thing to that too, Martha. We've seen over and over as gardeners the power of a garden to bring communities together. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to accomplish too by making our gardens accessible, that everybody can come in and we can build communities actually that way.
Definitely. And there's lots of other people who are sort of incidentally integrated into gardens when they're made more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some common problems that gardeners face that can be overcome by using accessible gardening solutions, and sort of what are those solutions?
That's a great question, Ross. You know, and I would add, it's not just gardeners. I'm going to continue to say it's for everybody.
That's
trying
true.
To get
That's
everybody into our gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about some of the changes that occur within us through our lifespan, you know, we can think about our strength. Think about range of motion, balance, and energy levels. And so again, wanting to make sure that everybody can enjoy our gardens, it behooves us to try to figure out ways to mitigate those changes that can occur over time. So let's start with mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you suppose is the first thing that keeps people from getting into the garden? Well, it's pathways. And so we need to think about pathways first. Sometimes it could be a curb that is keeping someone from getting into their pathway. So thinking about cutouts and or ramps to be help a person get into our gardens or into our landscapes. But the other thing to think about are the pathways themselves. And so pathways need to be smooth, and that makes sense for individuals who might have a wheelchair that they're getting into the garden. The pathways need to be at least 36 inches wide and perhaps even up to 60 inches wide so that they can actually maneuver and turn their wheelchairs. And, you know, I'm not prepared to really address the specifics of the ADA recommendations, but you can find that document online that will give you the exacts of measurements that you might think about using in your pathways. The other thing that's really nice about having a wide pathway is it's great for your wheelbarrows. I mean, how many times have we tried to do, you know, a 16-point turn or whatever to get your wheelbarrow turned around on the pathway? Mm-hmm. So again, all of these strategies, as Martha has said, not only improve our garden access for folks who might have issues, it's for everybody.
Absolutely. Strollers, wheelchairs, wagons, yes. All of the above.
Yes. Grandmas, grandpas, infants. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So pathways then, thinking about materials for pathways, it could be something simple as compacted stone or gravel. It could be paving stones. It could be bricks even. The other thing that you could maybe consider using as a retrofit in your garden is a rubber mat. So there are rubber mat products out there that are suitable for wheelchairs, walkers, canes. It could be rubber tiles. One of these mats I've actually seen at Quarry Cove, which is at the Yaquina Head Outstanding Natural Area. So it's very nice. It's rolled down close to the water and so that people can get down to the lovely tide pools down there. So that would be a place that you could see that solution. The other thing about pathways is that you've got to beware of trip, slip and trip issues. You know, I love to line my pathways with little pots, but really I shouldn't be. And the other thing I'm going to tell you are hoses. Hoses are just waiting to trip you. I hate to say it. I've tripped over them. I say to myself, I'm not going to do it. And I do it anyway. So beware of the hoses. Mm-hmm. So those are pathways. Another big strategy that you can use in your garden for accessibility are raised beds. And so many of us have been around for years and years and using raised beds. I think we've been using them for over 40 years in my garden. And the thing about raised beds, initially we used like 2x10s to build our raised beds. And that meant they were 10 inches high. We filled them with a nice soil and hope to increase our production of crops that way. That's why we initially use them. But for accessibility purposes, then you might consider having raised beds 24 to 36 inches high. And that makes it so you don't have to bend over as you're gardening.
That's convenient.
It's really nice. And you can also think about putting a ledge around your raised bed. So it offers seating if you need to, and you could even garden in your raised bed from that seat. Raised beds can be made of wood, cedar, for example, but of course, concrete, stonework. We're seeing lots of raised beds now. The galvanized water troughs, those make a nice option for raised beds.
Super easy.
Yes. And I like how it looks too. You can see a really nice example of a raised bed made out of concrete stones up at the demonstration garden up in Lincoln City at the Oregon Coast Community College campus. So nice stone raised bed up there. And then we have what I was going to talk about next, which is a tabletop raised bed. And those allow a wheelchair to roll underneath them so that a person can actually roll up and, you know, have it's at a nice height for them to be able to work in.
Without leaning as much.
Exactly. The thing about the tabletop beds is that, you know, they may only be 8-10 inches deep or so. So you have to think about shallow rooted crops. We do have a tabletop bed at the South Beach Demonstration Garden up at the Oregon Coast Community College campus. And last year we grew a lovely crop of strawberries, although elk did try to eat those, if you recall. Oh, and one other type of bed that makes it easier for people are vertical beds. So that brings it eye level for you. And there's a beautiful example of a vertical bed at the Oregon Coast Community College campus in Walport. You know, it's, you could even just use pots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that brings the level of the garden up to you as well. So if you're living in an apartment, a condominium or that kind of thing, using pots is more accessible as well.
Absolutely. And then you can even set them on a table to do your work. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And set them on a platform with rollers.
Yeah.
To be able to move them in and out, which is another
A lot
adaptation.
Of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so then one last thing I'm going to mention is that, you know, we talked about stamina perhaps being an issue as well. So it's really great to have seating built into your garden, maybe preferably in a shady spot where you can sit and relax and have some water perhaps, and allows you to take a break and really reflect on what you've done and daydream about what you want to do next.
So, Julie, you've already mentioned a couple products like mats and things like that, but what other products are on the market that can make gardening a little bit easier and more accessible for listeners, and what do those products do?
You know, recently I'm seeing a lot of garden hand tools.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your traditional trowels, little rakes kind of thing, pruning devices. So I'm seeing a lot of those that are trying to correct ergonomic issues that have been created with the use of tools over time. So you're trying to save your wrists, for example. So there's tools now that have a different grip that keeps you from bending it in a way that causes more stress to that joint. And not only does it give you a better grip, but they also have tools that have a cuff that is attached to the tool. And so now you have the strength of your forearm along with the tool that you're holding more ergonomically, and it gives you more leverage. And it seems like I'm stronger in the garden. I've been using it for a while. I've been using it on my Himalayan blackberry that keeps trying
oh,
to
boy.
Invade my little woodland garden. In addition to hand tools, and I've also seen a product line that has a long handle, and I'm sure you've seen this, and then multiple different tools that you can attach to it at the bottom that might be for weeding. They could be for pruning, all of the different gardening activities that you could possibly imagine I've seen. And so then you're doing those things from a standing position. Again, saving your back. Saving your wrists, you're hoping as well, too.
So what can listeners do to learn more about accessible gardening?
Well, Julie and I will be making a presentation titled Universal Design in the Home Garden on November 7th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. as part of the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association Fall Education Series. It's not too late to register. It's only $5. You can register by going to our website at www.orcoastmga.org. That's orcoastmga.org. This presentation is going to be held at the Samaritan Center for Health Education in Newport, November 7th. Hope to see you there.
Thank you both so much for coming on to talk about this topic. It's so useful.
Thanks, Ross.
Thanks for having us, Ross. Mm-hmm.
It's time for seasonal gardening tips, and this week we'll talk a little bit about weatherization. I'll talk more about mulching in a future broadcast, but using mulch is useful for keeping warmth and moisture in the ground and minimizing fluctuations. You can also plant cover crops like clover and rye, which are sometimes called a living mulch, because they prevent erosion during winter rains and help make nutrients available, much like a mulch would. You also want to drain and store hoses in a garage, greenhouse, or shed, anything that provides a little bit of shelter for them, and blow out your irrigation systems and sprinklers. Water begins to expand even before it actually freezes, so don't wait once it's hitting even the high 30s at night. It's time to blow them out. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!